Okay, as we just heard, Spain's governing Socialist Party won a second term in office yesterday in national elections. Now, Spain is not without its problems. Inflation is at a 10-year high and unemployment is at its highest level in 100 years. But politically, it does seem to have its act far more together than its neighbor across the Mediterranean, Italy. It's been more than a month since the Italian government imploded. Its prime minister, Romano Prodi, voted out of office by the Senate, leaving a power void that still hasn't been filled. And if the Italian parliament's a mess, it's nothing compared to the scene in Naples. Forget Vesuvius. Mountains of trash are threatening to erupt, some 250,000 tons of it piled high in the streets thanks to overflowing landfills. Then there's the Italian economy, the third largest in the European Union, but the only one on the brink of recession. These are just a few of the grim realities that Italy is facing right now, and some question whether the economic, political, and social chaos there could make Italy the first Western nation to earn the title failed state. On the phone with us now from Rome is Christopher Winner. He's the editor and publisher of The American Magazine, a monthly news magazine based in Italy. He's lived and worked there as a journalist for more than 30 years and says the current crisis is nothing new. Hey, Christopher.
Hey, how are you?
Doing just fine. Thanks for joining me. So,
pleasure.
About 38% of Italian families cannot cover their monthly bills. 5 million Italian families barely live above the poverty line. Things don't appear to be very rosy in Italy right now. Give us a quick overview of the current state of the country.
Well, Italy always has a tendency toward drama, and those who cover it are, I think, attracted the way people are attracted to opera, to Italy's own drama. Certainly the figures aren't very pleasant, what a state is supposed to provide, at least seen in Southern European terms, is health care, above all, free health care, and education. And those two central aspects of the social order this country provides. And while all of the other details that you cite and that many others have cited are accurate, they don't take away from the fact that, you know, within the dramatic context, this country does get by day to day, month to month, year to year. And there have been previous government power vacuums in the past. It's a tradition, if you will. There have been 61 governments since the end of World War II. So, you know, there's really nothing much that's new. Another quick aspect is when Italians look across the ocean, they see the U.S. economy in tatters or certainly troubled, and that, in a way, is a tonic. They are not alone.
But you say, so Romano Prodi's government is the 61st government since World War II. I mean, that's a striking statistic. What is the problem? Why can't they get it together?
Well, I think that, first of all, you're dealing with parliamentary government, which puts a strong emphasis on parties, which means many parties. Everyone wants to have their voice heard in politics.
But there are lots of European countries that are a parliamentary system. Is there something particular about the way Italy works?
No, there's nothing that distinguishes Italy from Spain, if you will. But I think that one point that can be made is that both Spain and Portugal are coming off of recent dictatorial regimes. That is, until the mid-1970s, both Portugal and Spain, for example, were run by dictators. Greece had a military junta until the end of the 1960s. Italy, since the end of World War II, has been duking it out and enjoying the fruits of parliaments and enjoying the fruits of democracy, if you will, which include agreeing to disagree. And the Italians do that exceedingly well.
There is a man by the name of Beppe Grillo, a comedian and blogger who's starting this whole grassroots populist movement in Italy. What is his message, and is it resonating?
It is resonating. It's resonating above all because Italians are discovering the internet and finding it intriguing.
What is he saying?
Well, the message is that government leaders and party leaders are crooks and should not be trusted. It's a populist message. It's extremely attractive, but it does not have a cohesive counterbalance. That is, it does not have a party. It does not have an outlet into the state itself. That is, you can't like Mr. Grillo, a comedian, and say, I will vote for him because he's not running for anything.
So when you say that Italy is not a failed state, there are articles, New York Times, Times of London have written extensively of this in recent months. What do you point to as the evidence that Italy is not, that's a misnomer, that Italy is not a failed state?
Still one of the most powerful economies in Europe. Still a state, a country that attracts the interest and the attention of people worldwide, that has its problems, will continue to have its problems, but manages year to year with no indication that there is an internal force, namely that people are ready to fold up the tent and leave.
Thank
elections-
you. Christopher, I'm sorry, we're going to have to leave it there. Christopher Winter, editor and publisher of The American Magazine, a magazine based in Italy. Hey, thanks so much, Christopher.
My pleasure.
Take care. So it sounds like Italy is nothing new in that part of the world. We'll keep an eye on whether or not they can form a government. This is the BPP from NPR News.